Psalm 85 and verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Amen?
Amen.
Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Look, it's just a short sentence. Let's declare this prayerfully to God. Let's state it out loud. Are we ready? It says, will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? That your people may rejoice in you. One more, now we're getting the hang of it. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, when revival actually comes, God has ordained certain things. One thing He's ordained is a special season of grace where His Spirit, where the Holy Spirit, is sovereignly poured out. That's what we want, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This is where the power of the enemy is swept away.
That's true.
Lives are renewed. Hearts are strengthened. Sin goes out the window. The pubs close. The police forces disband. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. You see, this is the sweet visitation of God. And sometimes it lasts for a few days, sometimes for a few weeks, sometimes for a few months, and other times for a few years. But you know, when revival does come to New Zealand, and surely it will if we pray, surely it will if our hearts are turned towards God in revival, and we do the work of revival, which is prayer.
That's right.
Then instead of it lasting a few years, we want revival to just go on and on and on, renewing our land, renewing the people.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In this, Satan is dealt a death blow.
That's right.
Amen. Yes.
And people are soaked. Absolutely soaked in the blessed presence of God. You know, these times of revival often come after long periods of drought. And I don't know how you feel about the religious life of our nation, but I feel as though it's high time the drought ended and that we moved into revival. That this sovereign anointing of God might come. And society might be renewed. Laws might be restored. I'm talking about the laws that have been made in the last few years. Because I'm sure that many of them grieve the heart of God. We have legalized prostitution. That means that prostitution is now okay in the hearts and minds of many people. We have people of the same sex getting married. Homosexual law reform bills been passed. Now we no longer have just men and women. We have a lot of other things too. And I know this grieves the heart of God, because male and female, He created them. When revival comes, lives get turned around. Hearts get changed. Thinking gets altered. And it all comes in line with the heart and will and mind of the Holy Spirit. This is what we want, isn't it? You know, there are so many people in our land who are being led away by the powers of darkness. And when you leave this life, there is only one of two places that you go to. You either go to hell or you go to heaven. And there are many, many people in our land that are not going upwards, but going downwards. And it grieves my heart, and I'm sure it grieves your heart. I know. I just know that it grieves God's heart. He would for not that not one of them would perish. And you know, there are so many people in our land that absolutely disregard the offices of God, that disregard the Word of God, that are living lives that are really outside of anything to do with the kingdom of God. And I listened to Brad as he was telling his story. And Brad, where are you? Just wave your hand, my friend. Yeah, Brad, that's a mighty story. And you know the depth of darkness that it's possible for human beings to slip into. And I am just so glad that you had a praying mother. Yeah. Because your praying mother has saved your eternal life. Praise God for that. Thank you. Praise God for her faithfulness. Thank God that she spent time on her needs for your salvation. Yeah. But you know, it isn't just Brad's salvation. It's the life that he will live here on earth. It's the life that God has now got a hold of that's going to take him from one degree of glory to the next. He's already been used of God. And he will be used more and more of God as he steps out into the things of the kingdom and allows God to use him. And that principle applies to each and every one of us. Do we understand? Are we getting this? Hallelujah. You see, when I was serving as an officer in the RAF, I had an eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die kind of philosophy. And the kind of work we were doing, that was often something of a reality, that tomorrow we may well die. But we need to be living not to eat and drink and be merry, but to that our lives may be turned over to God. That his love, his power, his life, his initiatives are being outworked in our lives. And we need to become people who are naturally supernatural. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. And you know, revival comes when there are Christians praying. When there are Christians praying in their homes. When they go to their prayer closets and they spend time on their knees beseeching God. Outside their homes there may be the stench of hell, but inside that prayer closet there's the sweet fragrance of heaven. And you know, when small pockets of believers start really seeking God earnestly for revival, when they're motivated for a desperate desire for revival, when that's the thing that's really, really important to them, then this remnant, these few people that are being faithful to God in prayer and faithful to the heart and mind of God in prayer, then these few people can be so absolutely effective in a land. You know, I'm reminded of the great Scottish revivalist, John Knox. And you know, he cried out to God for revival. He cried out day after day and week after week, spending hours in prayer, crying out for revival. And finally, his prayer was, and he was, of course, a Scottish revivalist. Finally, his prayer to God was, "Give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die." Now, when our hearts want revival at that kind of depth and we pray that kind of prayer, we're going to see the heavens open and we're going to see the power of God come into our land. But we have to do the work. We have to do the work. And what we need to see is so much prayer going up that heaven is constantly ringing with the constant, demanding, heartfelt, soul-stirring, tear-drenched, insistent, persistent, unceasing cries to God to send revival upon our land of New Zealand. Now, if we're sincere in that,
then in due time God will faithfully tune his ear to our cry, to the cry of the prayer warrior. You know, I can see God standing in his throne room in heaven and saying to the angel Gabriel, Gabriel, sound the war cry. Gather 10,000 of your seasoned angel warriors. Holy Spirit, the time has come. Flood that nation of New Zealand with your presence. Unleash the power of heaven upon them. Amen. Can you see that happening? It's only going to happen as faithful people pray that it might happen. So let me ask you tonight, are you prepared to be a prayer warrior? Do you want revival in this land? We sang a song that is fantastic. I love it. It says all the right things, doesn't it? It talks about the streets. It talks about the people. And when God comes in revival power, that's whom he touches. You know, I remember reading a story about the Welsh revival. And a chap came up from London into Wales by train, and he got off at the station. And he walked out onto the street, and there's a policeman on point duty. And he thought, he'll know. So he went across to him and he said, excuse me, officer, where's the revival? He said, it's in here. It's in here. Revival touches hearts. It touches lives in powerful, powerful ways. And people are revived. They are renewed. The Holy Spirit comes to live within them. And Holy Spirit power flows out of them. Whole societies, whole towns, whole cities can be transformed. But we need to do the work. So let me ask you a question. Are you prepared to do the work? Are you prepared to covenant tonight to actually spend time on a daily basis seeking God for revival? Now, if you are prepared to do that, then in a second or two, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then I'm going to pray a prayer covering over you and commission you for that task. So if you are serious, and please don't get to your feet if you're not. You know, we can't hide from God. God will see what's happening in this world. He's right here. And he knows what's happening in this room tonight. So if you're not serious about this, please don't get up. But if you are serious, then please get to your feet now and let's pray and have you commissioned. Those who are standing, I'm going to ask you to open your hands and close your eyes. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask that you come upon them. Let your power come upon them, Lord. Empower them for this task. Empower them for the work of prayer for revival. Go deep into their hearts, Lord. Let them understand the significance of what they are committing to tonight. Let your power come upon them. Let their prayer lives be strengthened. Holy Spirit, let your will, let your mind, let your heart be known to them. Let them know how much you desire revival. Let them know how much you want to restore New Zealand and allow it to be a shining pinnacle in the kingdom of God. Lord, let this happen. Let their hearts be touched. Let their spirits be strengthened. And Lord, on a daily basis, let them cry out to you. And Lord, we ask that you will hear our cry. And God's people said, amen. 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 Please be seated. I want to ask who the lady is who has pain in her right shoulder, and the pain is there now, and you have trouble moving the arm. You've got some movement, but you haven't got full movement. You would find it very painful to do that, is it you, ma'am? Would you please come here? And could I ask Moira and Gordon to please come? Jackie, just face that way. That's great. Now, it's in the right shoulder, and the pain is there now. And what is it you can't do? Show me what you can't do. How far can you move the arm?
I can go up as far like this.
Right.
Sometimes I can lift it up further, but it's mostly in this
area. Okay, that's great.
I've had it for quite a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah, okay. The Lord has been talking to me all afternoon about you. Isn't that good?
It's wonderful.
Okay. And Moya and Gordon, would you lay your hands upon Jackie, please? And Gordon, I want you to put your hand just right on this shoulder. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jackie, I'm going to ask you if you just open your hands to the Lord. This is just body language that says, Lord, I want to receive from you. Now, just lift your head to the Lord. I don't want you to pray. I just want you to relax and receive. Is that okay? All right. Jackie, I anoint you for healing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you come upon Jackie. Let your healing power come, Lord. Let her receive of you. Come in power, Holy Spirit. Come in power. Go deep within her. Flood her body, Lord, with your healing power, with your healing touch. Now go deep, Lord. Go deep. Now hold her up. Don't let her fall over. Now in Jesus' name, I speak to this shoulder. And in Jesus' name, I command it to be healed. I speak to the pain, I tell it to go. In the name of Jesus, pain be gone. Shoulder, function. As the living God designed it to function. Now, Jackie, what I'm going to ask you to do is to move that shoulder, move the arm. I want you to move it into positions that you couldn't have done 2 minutes ago. I want you to just move it around. I want you to start moving it like this. Up and down. Up and down. Pain be gone. Function come. In Jesus' name. Okay, now raise it higher. Move it around. Move it around, Jackie. In a nice big circle. Praise God. More yet. More yet. Healing come. Pain be gone from this shoulder. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is the healer. We honor you, Lord. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jackie, I want you to do this. I want you to actually stretch it right up. Okay? Amen. Now, tell me how much pain you've got.
Still sore.
Still sore.
But there's
Yeah, a lot more movement, isn't there? Now, on a scale of, if when you came up here, if the pain is at 10 there, where is it now?
About 2.
About a 2, okay. All right. So we're not doing too badly, are we?
It's nearly all gone, but it's not quite gone.
Not quite gone, okay. Gordon, just lay your hand. Moya, come around here. Just lay your hands. Just pray. Just command that 2% or whatever it is. To go. Now, Jackie, move the arm again. Look at this now. Come on, all the way around. How about we try both arms? Yeah? Okay, how's the pain?
There isn't any.
Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give this lady a hug. Give this lady a hug. Yes. Okay. Bless you, Jackie. Okay. Why did I do that? Because tonight we're going to talk about words of knowledge, and I wanted to get your attention. I hope now you're going to listen to what I'm going to tell you. Is that all right? There's a lot more people going to be healed this evening, believe you me. You ain't seen nothing yet. But the important thing is that we give the glory to Jesus. I cannot do this. I can't heal a fly or a flea. Believe me, I'm sincere when I say that. I know that I have no power of my own. Only the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent. This is His ministry, not mine. Just a vessel, just an ambassador, nothing more. Absolutely nothing more. You know, I believe we've seen God heal a shoulder, and a lady who's had a lot of pain, she said for some time, is not in pain and she has full movement, as you saw. So let's give the Lord a shout, shall we? Yeah, come on. That was beautifully spontaneous. Wasn't quite what I had in mind. So how about we stand, fill our lungs, on the count of three, as loud as we can. We want to see the walls fall down and the roof come off. We declare that Jesus is the healer. Are we ready? One, two, three. Jesus is the healer. Not bad, but we can do better than that. And again,
Jesus is the healer.
One more time, just so that the angel in the very back row gets to hear this. Are we ready?
Jesus is the healer.
Amen. Please be seated. I want to make some statements because I really want to declare tonight who Jesus is. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus is part of the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is absolutely God. The Father sent His Son. Now, when He's in the heavenly realm, we know Him as the Logos. I'm not going to get into all of that. But when the Father sends His Son, the Son incarnates, the Logos incarnates into our world as the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we okay with that? Yeah? So Jesus, completely God, completely human. When Jesus was working as a carpenter, if he hit his thumb with a hammer, he would have shouted, "Ouch." Yeah? Because what Jesus did when he incarnated is that he laid aside his glory. Now, you've got to get this, because if you don't get this, you'll never understand why it is Jesus, first of all, was filled by the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, and why at the end of his ministry, in John 17, chapter 17 and verse 5, he prays to the Father and he says, "Father, give me back the glory that I had with you before the world was created." You getting this? Yeah. Just go back a few paces. Jesus is in the glory of heaven as the Logos, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He incarnates into our world as Jesus. He knows that very soon he's going back to the glory of the fullness of his Father's kingdom. And he says, "Father, give me back my glory. Give me back the glory I had with you in the heavenly places and the fullness of the Father's kingdom before this world was created." Jesus has always existed. Stretches my intellect to get a hold of some of this stuff. Jesus has always existed. Jesus will always exist. There is no beginning, no end. He is part of the eternal Godhead. We okay with that? All right. So God the Father, is omnipresent, isn't he? He's everywhere at once. You can't go anywhere and escape the presence of God. You may think you can. You may think that you can get under the covers in your bed and God isn't. God's there. You may think you can get into a submarine and go into the deepest part of the sea or into an aircraft and fly to the highest heights and escape God. No, you can't. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's also omniscient. He knows everything. So you may think that your secret sin is not seen by God. Yes, it is. He knows everything. And God is also omnipotent, isn't he? He's all-powerful. You know, Jesus said, didn't he? He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. How much power is there outside of all power? None. Jesus has got the lot. Therefore, when we are his ambassadors, when we stand on this earth representing him, and we lay our hands on someone and pray for healing and command healing, the healing happens. We simply need to believe it. I said yesterday that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. When that lady came out here this evening, I took a risk, didn't I? Because she might not have got healed. I knew she was going to be healed. But it's still a risk. I still have to stand here and say that it's going to happen. Is that okay? Yeah. Now, as Christians, if we are going to be used by God in ministry, then we had better get used to taking risks. We had better get used to putting our faith on the line and speaking it out. Yeah? Taking a hold of it. Faith is a verb. It's a doing word. And we need to be doing through our faith. Yeah? I want to... I actually want you to realize that the link between Jesus and the anointing and empowering that flows from the kingdom of God is the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians, we read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul lists there 9. And he lists wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says that they're all given for the common good. In other words, they're all given for the good of everyone. And it isn't possible for me tonight to teach on all 9 of those gifts. You know, we'd be here till about 3 a.m. if we were to attempt that. So in the next few minutes, I just want to speak about one of them. And I think it's a gift that follows on very naturally from where us men got to in our session yesterday afternoon. Yeah? The guys there were utterly fantastic. Groups of 5, they prayed for each other. And what did we have about... In that 10 minutes was the only, all the time slot we had, there must have been a dozen men who got healed. Is that right? Yeah. So we're going to lead on from that now. And we're going to talk about words of knowledge. Could we put that clip on? And what I've got is a testimony that I want you to look at. Now, as this plays, I want you to really pay attention. And I want you to try and add up on your fingers how many words of knowledge are mentioned. Because there's an examination at the end of this, and nobody gets out the door tonight, so everyone gets 100%. No, I'm only kidding. But see how many words of knowledge you can identify as this woman speaks and as she tells her story. This goes for 9 minutes, so settle down and really enjoy this. If you've got a pen and paper, you might want to write them down because when we're finished, I'm going to ask you to tell me what the words of knowledge were that you saw identified.
Hi, my name is Bonnie Nartai. I'm born and bred in Porirua, and I'm here to, it's actually a privilege to be able to give testimony for the help and assistance that I received from Bill Sierpski back in early 1985. At that time, I was only 18 years old. I had given birth to my first child, a baby girl, and from the time she was born, she had to be brought up in an incubator because she couldn't breathe the air that you and I are breathing. She had to have oxygenated air, and we didn't know why. A specialist in that had said that we've got an airway channel, and for some reason she didn't seem to have one similar to us. I didn't quite understand. As I says, I was only 18 years old. All I knew is that my baby couldn't breathe the air that we were having to have. So she was born like that and in an incubator. And it does get to you after a while with not being able to do things. Seeing other people with their babies getting better was the hardest. Was seeing other people coming in with their babies and leaving with their babies. But I couldn't even hold my baby, and that was the hardest thing of all, not just for me but for the entire family. My daughter's father ended up leaving me after that because I don't think he could handle just being watched and supervised, is how it seemed, for both of us. While we were there in the hospital, my auntie and her man had come, my uncle had come in, and were talking to my mum and said that there's a faith healer by the name of Bill Sierpski coming into the Wellington Town Hall that night, and that they wanted my mum and I to consider bringing baby in to see this faith healer because we've tried all the medical ways and they didn't seem to know what was wrong with her and didn't know how to fix her. And my auntie was begging that we take her to this guy, Bill Sierpski, as she felt that he'd be able to help us. It just took a lot of organising because in order for us to get there, we needed an ambulance as well as the incubator in there. There was also having to organise oxygen tank. Now, in those days, they didn't have the little small portables that we have today. The one we came in with was the big, huge tanks that divers use or that the firemen had. And we had to bring it in on a trolley. And my baby had the mask on her face. So we left the hospital about 9 o'clock in the ambulance. We got to the town hall and it was just chocker. I mean, even for the ambulance to get in, there was cars all over the place, people all over the place. Inside the town hall would have been chocker because outside there were just people galore. You couldn't even get in if you wanted to. And they had two big, huge speakers on the outside and you could hear them talking on it. But the ambulance pulled up with our red lights on and everything. And we started walking towards the crowd where all these people were. Now at that time it only seemed like we were there probably 10-15 minutes, and all I heard come over the speakers was, "Could everyone please be quiet? God's sending me a message," is what the voice said. And I just cracked up laughing, thinking, "Oh geez, what a joke." And the voiceover says that there's a baby out there that's finding it hard to breathe, that was born like this, and God is calling for this child to come forward. So if you have this child, please bring the child forward. Now, my mum and I both looked at each other to think, well, are they talking about us? But then I said to my mum, "It's okay, mum, I'm sure auntie went and rung ahead and told them we were coming." And about a couple of minutes later, the voice over the speaker started getting a lot more sterner, and he says, "There is a child in this room," and then he went on to state and gave a total description of my daughter's blanket. It was a handmade blanket. And that he says this child is wrapped in this blanket, and even went on about the oxygen tank and other things that the child had. Now everyone started looking around, and then you had people outside saying, here they are, they're over here. And it was just amazing. It was kind of like you had all these people around and just a big, huge opening opened for us. So we all walked down with the paramedic with us, with our oxygen tank and the baby. And we got down to the bottom of the stage. By that, I just had the shakes. I couldn't go up. Mum went up for me with baby and the paramedic. When they got up there, the man had just put his hands out over my daughter like that, closed his eyes and opened them and just flung back. And I thought, heck. And he looked at my mother and he says, are you the mother of the child? And she goes, no, I'm the grandmother. The mother's down there pointing at me. And then he looked at my mother and he says, the mother of the child is dabbling in voodoo and witchcraft. And I looked up at him and I thought, far out, how the heck could he know that? You know, he continued to put his hand over my daughter and he came out and told my mother that I had the Rider Wyatt collection of the tarot cards, gave a description, a full description, and the title of the Ouija board that I had. He also gave the 12 title book titles of books that I had on witchcraft, voodoo, tarots, as well as also psychic insights. And he gave the authors as well with these titles. And I was standing there at the bottom shaking, thinking, oh my God, how the heck did you get to know all of that? But as they continued going over her like that, he kept coming out with new things. And then he says that these things are being kept in a specially made room, is what he said. I told my mother that these books and that are being hidden, and a secret room was made, and he told my mother where it was inside my wardrobe. And again, I mean, I didn't know what to think. I just thought, wow, how the heck could you know that? Now, my brother's a carpenter, and he did. He built that room in that wardrobe for me to hide my things like that, because, you know, my mother's really strict in discipline and culture, and I knew that if she found me dabbling in that sort of thing, I'd get a good hiding. So, you know, my brother was nice enough to build that for me. So that's all right. They did all of that, and we ended up back at the hospital at 11:30. We got back with baby, and my mother made sure that we were under lock and key until she went home and got all these things out of the wardrobe. And back in those days, you were able to light your incinerators and burn whatever you liked. At 1 o'clock that morning, my mother had rung the hospital to speak to me and asked how we were, how baby was, and says, we're fine. She's no better, no different. She says, well, I've just burnt your last book. That was at 1 o'clock. I went to sleep. About 2 o'clock, about an hour later, I was woken up with the incubator alarms going off, and got up to have a look, and the nurses and that come running in. And by the time we got up to have a look at her, she was blue. In other words, she'd stopped breathing inside the tank. And we were thinking, wow, without thinking, we had just opened up the lid and started doing CPR on her, and she came right. But as soon as we go to close the lid back down for her to breathe, she'd stop breathing again, and we couldn't understand it. So the specialist was already on his way in, had come in, and we were doing CPR on her for the fourth time, trying to get her back into the incubator. And the specialist had says, well, leave her for a minute. So they did. And for some reason, trying to put her back into the incubator, she wouldn't take to it. But she was able to breathe out air. And the specialist couldn't understand it. He just couldn't. I couldn't. But he couldn't understand it. And so that's all right. 2 days later, we went in to have her X-ray to find out how things were going and, you know, why she was all of a sudden now able to breathe this air that we were breathing. She no longer needed to have a purified air. And when they took the X-ray, as I'd mentioned earlier on, she didn't have an airway passage like we had. It was, you know, but in the X-rays, for some reason, the airway passage was there. They couldn't explain it. I couldn't explain it either. Now, my mother gave her heart to the Lord. It changed my mother's life dramatically. My mother wasn't a drunk, always out partying, having fights, you name it, she was doing it. But that night, my mother gave her heart to the Lord, and she continued to until the day she died of breast cancer, and that was 16 years of faithful servicing. 25 years later, my daughter is still well and breathing. I have three beautiful grandchildren with her, and they're all fit and healthy and doing really well.
Yeah, let's have one from you, sir. Shout it out. The 12 titles of the book, that's fairly extreme, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
The Ouija board?
The Ouija board, yep.
I got 19.
You've got 19 words of knowledge. Okay. Anybody get more than 19? Yep. 24. Okay. You were really counting hard, weren't you? But well done. That's great. You know, all through that testimony, there are words of knowledge coming. And when we learn to hear the voice of God, then we too will move in words of knowledge. And let me tell you what words of knowledge very often do. They short-circuit ministry time. Yeah? Because when you can look at somebody and you're praying for them, or you're going to pray for them, and God speaks to you about them, it may be that suddenly you know exactly how to pray and what the problem is. Yeah? Now, when Bill Sobritsky put his hand over that child, and the mum said he kind of drew back, he knew then that he was experiencing the demonic. And the demonic was coming through the mother, and had come through the mother, I'm suggesting, into the child, and produced the condition that the child had. Because as soon as those books on voodoo and tarot and all the rest of it were burnt, that influence was removed, and the child was healed. So if we can learn to listen to God and hear what he's saying, hear that very often it's a still, small voice. But if we can practice that, and if we can do that, then we're going to find that God is going to use us in perhaps far more powerful ways than he has previously. Now, I'm aware that some of you, I'm sure, know far more about this than I do. And I'm moving in words of knowledge pretty constantly. But you know, there is a real need within our churches, isn't there, for a renewal and a revitalization of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and for the church to again take up the commission that the Holy Spirit has given it to get people healed. Jesus said, "The things I have done, you will do." He actually went on and said, "Greater things than these you will do, because I go to the Father." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm perfectly happy doing the things that Jesus did. I haven't yet raised anybody from the dead, but I'm going to. Are you? Hallelujah. Keep saying it. Keep meaning it. Keep praying it. Keep practicing it. And it'll happen. Yeah. Okay. What was that? Okay. Well, I had a whole heap of Bible references that we were going to go through. I'm not sure we're going to bother. I think what we are going to do is get into some practice time. How does that sound? All right? Okay, we'll do it at the end of the evening. My wife is reminding me that we haven't played the world's fastest sermon, and I promised you folk yesterday that we would see it again. I actually don't want to break what we've got going on here, and if it seems appropriate, we'll play it at the end of the evening. If not, I'll play it tomorrow afternoon when I'm speaking again. But right now, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, I don't want anybody to move for a moment, please. But I'm going to ask you to break up into groups of five. And I don't want you to be with people that you know. So if you're husband and wife, husband goes to one group, wife to another. If you came with friends, then break up. And find some people that perhaps you don't know terribly well. And what we're going to do is we're going to give each group anointing oil. And we're going to ask one person in the group to volunteer to be prayed for healing. All right? And then the other four pray for that person. I've got a heap of anointing oils here. And my friends Gordon and Moya are going to hand them out. They might just be a little bit oily on the outside, so it's olive oil, so don't, you might not want to get it on your clothing. You might want to take a handkerchief and, just give them a wipe and you'll receive it. I'm sorry, but some of them have leaked somewhere and they're just a little bit oily. When you anoint, I'm gonna ask you to run with me tonight. Is that okay? Put aside all the training you've had previously and your own ways of doing things. And I'm just going to ask you if you'll do it my way tonight. That's so that we can standardize this. And those who don't have a way of doing it can take something away with them. You can take the anointing oils away to start with. And what we have done with these anointing oils, as I explained yesterday, it's cotton wool inside with olive oil that we poured in. Maria made hundreds of them for me. But then we consecrate it. And we pray, Holy Spirit, allow this oil and to be consecrated for the holy purpose for which it's going to be used, to bring healing and deliverance to your people. Amen. Now you've got anointing oil. Is that okay? All right. And we've done that to all of these. So when we anoint, you saw the way that I did it, and I'm going to ask you if you'd please do it that way. That bit of cotton wool is way down there, but don't worry, I'm sure you'll cope. I used my thumb, but use a thumb or a finger. And Maria, would you stand up, please, and we'll just do this again. And so we ask the person to open their hands, close their eyes. All this is body language, nothing more. But it says, Lord, I'm ready to receive from you. Is that okay? If your hands get heavy, it's not an endurance test, put them down. But, it's a good way to start. We ask the person to close their eyes, and then I put it on my thumb, and then we say, if I was praying for healing for Maria, I would say, Maria, I anoint you for healing. In the name of the Father, I make the downward bar of the cross. Then, and of the Son, go across. And then I always go back to the center. I put my thumb there and say, and of the Holy Spirit. So I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In fact, usually what I would say is I baptize you for healing. I anoint you for healing. I'm getting all confused. I anoint you for healing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Then we simply place our hand very gently and lightly. We never, ever push or pull. Please don't do that. It's an impartation of Holy Spirit's anointing. You just need to touch very lightly. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come. So we might say something like, Holy Spirit, come upon Maria in your healing power. Let your healing power flow right through her, Lord. Let her receive of you. And you can make up in any, the Holy Spirit will guide you in what you're going to pray. And then, stand up again, love. You're a bit quick. And then you saw how I spoke to the shoulder. Whatever the condition is, you are going to take authority over it. You have that authority. It was given to you. Matthew 16 says, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. As you pray, heaven is going to back you up. All right? You have the authority. If your Holy Spirit fills, you have the power. When power and authority are set at about the same level, you have the foundation for ministry. Okay? Yeah, I do. I haven't finished with you yet. So if it was, for instance, a knee that's not functioning, or there's pain in the knee, or, you know, whatever, I would get the person to move the knee, you know? I might get them to actually bend down and then stand up and command the knee to function. Okay? Now, if it's a back and there's pain in the back, take authority over the pain. Command it to leave. Then get the person to do something that would have produced pain before, just like we did with the arm. So we might get, if there's pain in the back and we've commanded the pain to go, then exercise the back. This is critically important. Don't chicken out at this point. If you do, you're going to lose a lot of healings. And there's a lot of people who are not going to get healed. Move the limb. Exercise the back and you will see the healings come. So if it's a back, I'd say to Maria, Maria, would you please, I know it was painful before, but please bend over and touch your toes or whatever. Yeah? And if that only happened a little way, stand up, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Let the healing come. Let the power of God come into that condition and heal it. You're getting the idea? Okay, now, every time somebody in your group gets healed, I'm going to ask the group to clap. Yeah? And then you say who else in the group needs prayer for healing and pray for them. And when they get healed, clap again. We're going to have lots of clapping going on around this room. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's do it. Okay, you're getting the idea. All right, so let's break up into groups of five. Mix yourselves up. Find some space. I don't care what happens to the chairs. Okay, now I'm going to declare, please be quiet for a moment. I'm going to declare that nobody opts out. I don't want to see anybody sitting down. Everybody is in a group of five. You've come here tonight to see the power of God move. So please get to your feet, join a group. And please, hush, 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 hush. Please do not start any ministries yet. Every group has to have anointing oil. And I'm going to pray before you actually start the ministries. Oh no, okay, I'm going to ask for absolute silence in the hall, please. Okay, will you please stop talking? Thank you. Silence, please. Okay, there's a couple of points. That you are permitted to know what the condition is that you're praying for. So ask the person. But when, so now, just a couple more things as these anointing oils are being passed around. So if your group hasn't got anointing oil, somebody just put their hands up, put their hand up, and Moya and Gordon will bring you anointing oil. There's some down the back there, Gordon, that haven't got them. Okay, now please listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to say again that only the person who is being prayed for closes their eyes. Everybody else, keep your eyes open, because when you ask the Holy Spirit to come, He's going to come and you're going to see His presence on the person. It may be that the eyelids start to flutter. It may be that a blush comes to the cheeks. It may be that the person starts to sway. If they're going to fall over, hold them up. You can let them fall over once they've been healed. Okay, but I don't want to see people lying all over this room unhealed. The idea is to get people healed. Okay, now, please, silence, thank you. Hush. Now, group members, when the power of the Holy Spirit has come and the person who has done the anointing takes authority over the condition, every member in the group is listening to God. Open your mind, open your ears, open your hearts to God. And if you believe that God is giving you a word of knowledge that's going to aid the ministry, then speak it into the ministry. But these are only going to be words of knowledge that aid the ministry. I don't want anybody looking at somebody and saying, "You're into adultery, aren't you?" Don't do it. I do not want that kind of word of knowledge tonight. If you get that kind of knowledge, please keep it to yourself. You can come and tell me afterwards if you wish. But tonight, it's words of knowledge that bring healing, that aid the ministry. Is that okay? You know, you might get a word of knowledge that says, hey, this person's into unforgiveness. And you might want to very gently ask, is there somebody you need to forgive? Yeah? Okay. Right, now, we've all got the idea? Okay. Has every group got anointing oil? Is there any group that doesn't have? I want the person in the group who is going to receive healing prayer to put their hand up. Every group should by now have decided, somebody should have decided they're going to receive healing prayer. No, don't start talking. Just, who's going to receive healing prayer in this group? Okay, your hand should be up. What about in, okay. What about that group over there? Who's going to receive healing? Okay, that's terrific. Terrific. Great. What about the group right down the back there, those men down the back? Who's going to receive healing prayer first? Okay, fantastic. And what about this group over here? Yep, and that one over there? All right, okay. I want everybody to close their eyes and open their hands, please. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come in healing power. Come, Holy Spirit. Allow your people to be healed this night to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Now don't forget, as people get healed, the whole group claps. Go for it. Okay, I tell you what, just before we do that, if you have received healing tonight, I'm going to ask you to wave your hand in the air. If you have received healing tonight, wave your hand, please. If healing has come to you, if the Lord has healed you, wave your hand. Wave your hand. I'm going to ask the cameraman, can you do a pan round? Can you do a pan round and show this? Oh, it's happening. Okay. All right. Okay, wave your hands and keep them waving if you have received healing. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Okay. Now, would you all please retake your seats? Thank you. Okay, I wonder if that group there could just close their ministry down and sit down, please, and those guys down the back as well. We really do have to... I absolutely love it when people continue ministering and want to continue ministering. It makes my heart sing. But we probably have run out of time, and it is time to kind of close our evening together. So we've still got some groups going on that I'm trying to get through to. So the group, Gordon, can we close that group down the end there and get people to sit down? It's terrible closing down ministry, but, you know, there'll be other opportunities tomorrow, I'm sure. Actually, what we're going to do tomorrow is get into deliverance. That is the most neglected and most necessary ministry in the Christian church today. Yeah. Okay. Put your hand up if you got healed tonight. Okay, now just look, keep your hands up. Now everybody else, just look around. Now this has taken about half an hour. And look what God has done. Look at the healings that are taken. Let's give Him a clap. Yes, bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So if we got serious about this ministry of healing, whoa, how many doctor's bills could we save? How many trips to the hospital could we save? See, healing is an absolutely natural part of Christianity. There's nothing unusual about it whatsoever. It's just normal Christianity. And we just have to allow our minds and our hearts to grasp that fact. And then, under the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, we just start doing it. Yeah? So you've had a bit of practice tonight. And, you know, I know for some of you it will, you know, I've asked you to do something that perhaps you've never done before. But that's always good, isn't it? Especially when the Holy Spirit's in it and part of it. And you can see the response that, that you get. And so, look, I want to encourage each and every one of you that when the next time occurs that somebody comes into the office and says, oh, I've got a terrible headache, you don't say, have a Disprin, you say, can I pray for you? Or you don't say, no, perhaps you don't say, can I pray for you? Thank you, Gary. I heard you today. You say, let me pray for you. I'll pray for you. Headache, I command you in Jesus' name to be gone. Hallelujah. From Elizabeth or from John or whoever it is. Yep. And expect it to happen, and it will.
It does. Amen.
Now, the more practice you get at this, the better you become. Yeah? So practice. Don't be afraid. Get in there. Get people healed.
Yes.
Now, I tell you what I do. I found that this is a tremendous tool for evangelism. Because when I've prayed for someone who's not a Christian and they've got healed, I say to them, do you want to meet the God who's just healed you?
Right.
Now, how can they say no? Say this prayer after me. But it's true. So, you know, we're always looking for ways to evangelize, aren't we? We're always looking for ways to bring people to Jesus. There's no easier way. I remember being in Hong Kong with Jackie Pullinger, and she asked me to teach on healing, and I did a bit of a teaching on healing. And there was a guy at the back, and I'd never seen him before. I didn't know who he was. But as I finished, I could see that the Holy Spirit was on him, because I could see the tears running down his face. And I went up to him and I said, excuse me, I know we don't know each other, but are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, do you want to meet the God who's ministering to you right now? And he said, oh, yes, please. And he threw his arms around my neck and hugged me. And a week later, this man had traveled to China and he was phoning me up. And he was saying, I need Bibles. Send me Bibles. Yeah? He was a Christian of all of a week. But you see, the Holy Spirit will move upon us. He will move upon people. And when you see the Holy Spirit moving on someone, you know that, you know, if they're not a Christian, then God is ministering to them. Offer them Jesus. Do you want to meet the God that's ministering to you? Amen? Amen. Okay. It's just after 9:30. I thought, you know, because I'm going to get into terrible trouble from my wife if I don't show you this thing on the world's shortest sermon. So, are we ready to go with it?
Yeah, can someone
come? Oh, okay. If we can dim the lights or turn them off or whatever. And, you know, now when you see it the second time, you'll grasp more of the words. And I've seen it about 24 times and I still haven't got them all, I promise you. But it's a great little thing, isn't it? So enjoy.
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC, nothing on a CD. TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, or a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every black-eyed pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with they icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
Okay, what I think we'll do is I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you do that? And I'm going to pray for you. Because I think tonight has been, you know, I'm sure for many of you it's been really rather special. And what we want to do is we want to build on the spiritual momentum that has been created tonight, don't we? We don't want to go away from here and just have the whole thing dribble away on us. So let's open our hands and close our eyes. And Heavenly Father, Holy God, I ask, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you continue to move in the hearts and minds of every person here. Firstly, Lord, draw them into a closer relationship with you. Empower them more strongly and more completely with the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, allow ministries to come through them into the lives of people. Lord, allow lives to be blessed, healed, and set free by the ministries that are going to develop and grow from what has occurred here this night. And Lord, I ask that you just strengthen and bless each person. Lord, that you think through their minds and allow them to know your heart, to know your will for them. And Lord, just allow them to minister under the sovereignty and in the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. And the people of God said, Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bring his face to smile upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace this night and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen. May the Lord bless you. I tell you what you do. Yeah, let's give the Lord a clap. You often you want to. Yes, bless you, Lord. Okay. Okay, now just to make sure we've got rid of all our inhibitions tonight, turn to somebody, either shake their hand or give them a hug, one or the other. Come on.